Well, in honor of our Worship Plus 2 challenge, we are in a sermon series we're calling Grow Up, Taking a Step in Faith. It's a sermon series where we are going back to the Bible and we're looking at stories of individuals who have done just that, who have encountered Jesus and have taken a step, something risky, something they had never attempted before, and have grown from it. And so if you were with us a few weeks ago, you'll remember we talked about the story of Peter being called to become a disciple, to leave behind his nets and his boats, and to take a step in faith. And last week, Pastor Sarah preached about a paralytic man who literally took a step in faith for the very first time after encountering Jesus. And this morning, we come to another one of those famous stories of going deep in faith, and that is the story of Nicodemus. A man who traveled to Jesus by night, and a man whose life was changed because of it. We're going to look at the story of Nicodemus, the step he took, but before we do, will you join with me in a word of prayer? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are our potter. We are your clay. Melt us and mold us, make us and use us. Have thine own way. Amen. Well, several years ago at one of my alma maters, Emory University, they conducted a research study there to help determine the relationship between preaching and a congregation's racial bias. Now, in order to conduct this research project, a researcher from Emory found a local congregation in rural Georgia. And the researcher began by administering a questionnaire to the church body to try and establish a general level of understanding about the congregation's racial attitudes. Well, after the survey was given, the preacher of the church went on to preach a sermon series on the inclusive love of Christ. He preached about how in Jesus Christ there's neither Greek nor Jew, male nor female, slave nor free, that we are all one, all part of the same body. And the preacher directly tied that message to the issue of race in America today. After the sermon series was over, the researcher from Emory returned once again to the local church, administered a second questionnaire, once again looking at the racial attitude of the congregation to see if there was any difference. And there was. After the sermon series talking about the inclusive love of Christ, this researcher found the congregation to be 4.3% more racist than when they began. Now think about that. Week after week of hearing the same message, the message of inclusivity, the message of love, the message of agape, and the congregation still didn't get it. Makes you wonder, hearing stories like that, if people can really change. I mean, is it possible for you to become someone different than you are right now? Is it really possible for you to strip away those parts of yourself that you do not care for and to start fresh? Is change really possible? Or maybe a better way of asking the same question is this. Can a person be born again? Is it really possible for that kind of new beginning in someone's life? Now, Nicodemus didn't think so. He didn't believe it was possible for someone to start over. He didn't believe it was possible for someone to have that kind of radical transformation in their own life. After all, Jesus had told Nicodemus that in order to experience the kingdom of God, a person had to be born from above. They had to be born again. Very truly, I tell you, Jesus said, that you can't enter the kingdom unless you're born of water and the Spirit. Because what is born of flesh is flesh. What is born of spirit is spirit. Jesus tells Nicodemus in this moment that you can start over in God's kingdom. You can be born again. You can change. But Nicodemus didn't believe him. I don't know, maybe he was cynical. But he didn't believe that kind of transformation was possible. Maybe you remember the story of this man, Nick Cruz. He was a retired British Navy officer who made international headlines a few years ago when he wrote an open letter to his three children that went viral across several nations. Now, in this three-page letter, this former submarine captain went into excruciating detail, talking about how his children had disappointed him by the mess they had made of their lives. Nick Cruz said that he and his wife had given his kids every opportunity to do something great, that he had given them every opportunity to be productive citizens in the world around them, but they refused to change. They refused to grow up. He concluded his letter by saying this. He said, quote, "Your mother and I have had enough of being forced to live through this never-ending bad dream of our children's underachievement and domestic ineptitudes. I want to hear no more from any of you, for I am bitterly, bitterly disappointed." Now, Nicodemus was cynical. Nicodemus was disappointed. Nicodemus didn't think that kind of change was possible. "You can't be born again," he said to Jesus. "How can you enter into your mother's womb a second time? How can someone who's grown old start fresh once more?" He didn't believe it was true. Jesus said to him, "The wind blows where it chooses. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit." You know, for the longest time, reading the story of Nicodemus, it felt to me like some sort of heavy religious requirement that we had to experience if, well, we wanted to go to heaven. That's what being born again felt like to me. After all, you can't get to heaven unless you're born again. You need to be born again, don't you? You've been born again, haven't you? That's what people say. It felt like some sort of spiritual checkbox that we had to be able to claim if we wanted to call ourselves Christian. But looking back on it now, I don't think that's what Jesus is telling Nicodemus in this moment. I don't think Jesus is telling Nicodemus he has to be born again. No, I believe he's telling Nicodemus he gets to be born again. Because in the kingdom of God, you see, a person can start over again and again and again. You get to be born again. I can still remember the very first baptism I performed as a pastor. It was a baptism not for an infant, but instead was a baptism for an adult man and his teenage daughter who had both made the decision to join the church on the very same day. Now, it was a very exciting moment for me. I'd never done it before. I was so nervous the night before. I practiced baptizing in front of the mirror. I got a stuffed animal, and I pretended. I said, "Emily, Michelle, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Emily, Michelle, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Emily, Michelle, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Well, unfortunately, it wasn't until after the service that I learned Emily's middle name was not Michelle. It was Lauren. Somehow I had written it down incorrectly on the form. Well, the next morning I saw in my inbox an email from Emily's dad. And I thought to myself, oh, this is not going to be good. He is not going to be happy with me. And so with fear and trepidation, I opened the message. "David," the email read, "I want to thank you. And I want to thank Reverend Berglund for today's service. Everyone made our family feel so welcome. I'm looking forward to our new journey with the Lord. Personally," he said, "yesterday I felt a tremendous weight lifted off my shoulder and that I was where I was meant to be. I don't quite know how to explain the feeling other than to say, this has been a wonderful day for our whole family." As the wind blows where it chooses, Jesus says, and in the kingdom of God, you get to be born again. You get to let go of whatever hurt it is you've been carrying around for far too long. You get to let go of whatever weight you've been burdened with for far too long. Because you see, in God's kingdom, yesterday's guilt does not have to become today's shame. In God's kingdom, yesterday's sadness does not have to become today's grief. In God's kingdom, you can start anew. So a broken woman named Mary Magdalene was born again, and she became a witness to the resurrection. And a criminal named Saul was born again, and he became an apostle. And a doubter named Thomas, well, he was born again, and God turned him into a saint. Yes, in God's kingdom, people change. And murderers become saints, and prostitutes become prophets, and broken people turn into something so much greater than they could have been on their own. In the Bible, people encounter Jesus Christ and they start over. Not just once, they start over again and again and again. God, he makes them new. They're born again. An author by the name of Barbara Brown Taylor tells a story of being on a seminary review committee at Yale Divinity School many years ago. Barbara Brown Taylor said that one year while she was on the committee reviewing applications, they received one from a student that was totally unqualified for the rigors of theological education. His essay was shoddy, filled with all kinds of errors. His application was handwritten. It was clear he was not a good fit for a distinguished institution like Yale. So the admissions committee logically turned him down. Well, a few weeks later, the admissions committee received an impassioned letter from this applicant asking that they strongly reconsider their decision. Now, in the letter, the applicant said this. He said, "While it is true I am currently in the Georgia State Penitentiary, I'm writing to let you know I've talked with my parole board, and they tell me if you let me in, they will let me out." Well, when the arrangements could finally be made, the admissions committee invited the man to come and plead his case with them in person. Barbara Brown Taylor said that the day finally came when the committee was gathered around a giant oak table, all of the academics seated in leather-backed chairs, when the door opened and a giant man walked into the room. "Listen," he said, "I was a confused teenager. I hit hard times. I got a gun. It wasn't loaded. I went into a convenience store, and I made the worst mistake of my life." He said, "I didn't know there was an off-duty cop in there. He saw the gun. I acted rashly, and shots rang out, and my life was changed in that moment." And with that, he lifted up his giant white shirt. "The bullet went in right here," he said, "and it came out the other side. And I want you to know that was my Damascus Road experience. That was my burning bush. And my life started over that very moment." Now, Barbara Brown Taylor said, "The bad thing about being on a seminary admissions committee is, of course, we didn't want to admit him. But we'd all read the Bible. That sounded an awful lot like something Jesus would do." How can this be? Nicodemus said, "How can this be?" Jesus said, "What is born of flesh is flesh, but what is born of spirit is spirit, and in the kingdom of God, you get to be born again." Thanks be to God, and amen. Will you pray with me? Indeed, O Lord, we thank you that there are new beginnings. That each day you give us is a fresh start, filled with grace and mercy and compassion as we move We pray, Lord, that we might always find our confidence in you, knowing that by your Spirit we are born once more, and that your grace is what changes us. It makes us into the people you have called us to be, so God, help us to cling to that grace this day. For we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.